Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Keith over here, broadcasting live from Florida GovCon, and I have Samantha Weaver with us. Good evening, afternoon, whatever time of day it is.
Good afternoon.
We're all tired by now, huh?
Indeed.
So you came down from Pensacola with us.
I did.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
I did. Didn't even hear about the con until Monday.
Yeah, well.
Calvin mentioned it and sounded like a great event, and so here I am.
We have a way of sort of just, you know, last minute kind of things. So Sam, tell me why, because I had no idea that this was really your world until you were like, oh, I'm going to go with you guys or meet you guys down there. And so tell me why this is your world.
Well, because government contractors are, they're
A special breed.
A special breed, yes. And they have amazing skills. Small to medium-sized government contractors, while they may be technical marvels, don't necessarily have the communication skills, the writing skills to produce a winning proposal. Because an evaluation team, you know, there's maybe a half dozen people sitting around a table. They've got a pile of 20 or 30 proposals. They don't want to have to read them all. You know, they're looking for excuses to toss out. I mean, these are similar proposals with similar solutions at similar prices. And a well-written, well-organized proposal isn't going to guarantee a win. A poorly written, sloppy, disorganized proposal will guarantee a loss.
Yeah.
So that's who I work with. I work with these small to medium-sized government contractors. I make their proposals that were put together by a team of dozen engineers look like it wasn't put together by a team of a dozen engineers.
Sort of seamless and integrated.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the things that we've been hearing here, Calvin and I, a lot, is the language between the government and the contractors is so much different than it is in private business.
It is. It's incredibly different. And I started my career in newspapers and magazines. I was director of communications for an internet marketing firm. And moving into the government sphere, as I did a few years ago, there was a bit of a learning curve. One thing, there's a little bit of a misapprehension. People think that to work with the government, you need to have more sort of complex, more wordy stuff. The government actually has plain language guidelines. The Department of Defense has its own plain language guidelines website to refer to. So, in fact, I can find a lot of space in page-limited proposals and make the writing more clear by cutting out some of the wordiness that a lot of people think is necessary for government work that really isn't. Not only is it not necessary, it's a detriment. You know, they're not looking for that, even though the RFP producers may not have heard of that, and the RFP itself may come out with very complex, you know, very wordy, and some of that you want to keep in there. But in
general, is that
general,
wiggle room? Is that what that is?
Oh, there's always wiggle room. This is the government. What are you talking about? Right. There's always wiggle room. But yeah, there are certainly terminology that you use in the government that you need to work with. But yeah, cutting it down, plain language makes more room in the proposal. And makes for an easier proposal read for these, you know, people at the end of the day who have to read 20 of them.
Yeah. So do the people in this world that you've seen here over the last 2 days, do they go looking for somebody like you? Like, do they know they need that?
They know they need it, and they typically, in my experience, don't go looking for it because they assume that all that's out there are either very large companies that offer a comprehensive suite of services, or people who are more generalized. You know, you can Google editing services and come up with just a ton of options. Number one, you have no idea if they have any experience in, you know, proposals, in government proposals, or if they can even put a sentence together correctly, to be honest. There's not some editing credential that says, okay, you've earned this master editor credential. You know, they could just be some Joe Schmo who put up a sign, hey, I want to be an editor, and they're terrible.
Well, and like what you're saying, it's such a niche, right? And I didn't even think about this mostly because I can't read. No, I'm just kidding. Mostly because I just don't, I don't edit the same way that I think you look at it, but there's styles for genres and there's styles for verticals, you know, in business, And I guess what I'm hearing is that you're going to edit this stuff way different than you would somebody's, you know, newspaper article or
Absolutely.
Internet site or whatever.
Absolutely. Aside from the style guides being different, you know, newspapers have a particular style guide, AP, that they follow, and the government has the U.S. government publishing offices guidelines.
Oh, she didn't use an acronym, thank God.
Yeah, the GPO style manual, and the DOD has its own style manual. And so you certainly follow those style guides, but also, you know, taking into account your target audience. And yes, a proposal is a sales document. Mm-hmm. You have a target audience. It may be a dozen people. The stakes may be really high, and, you know, higher than if you're selling a Big Mac. But it's a sales document, and you have to look at it from their point of view and use language that is going to resonate with them.
Yeah, that they're able to explain to the next person up the ladder, I'm assuming.
Exactly. And also keeping in mind that people on these committees, not all of them are extremely technical.
Right.
You know, they can be from all levels of the organization and from different backgrounds. So you want it to be not too full of technical jargon.
Right.
You know, I have a certain amount of technical experience, and if I can't read it and understand it, then it needs to be simplified.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's how I have felt all day.
Somebody
simplify it for me. Only because I don't live in this world. You know, we talked through Jenny, through ATAN, and obviously through I4GovCon, and I can apply the business skills to it. We can apply all of the radio stuff that we do and the leverage that we create and getting people to really tell their story and communicate. But as far as what they do in front of that computer and the day job, it baffles me because it's very complex. There's a lot of stuff to go through for, you know, not only writing a proposal, but just the process of
think about what would you want to tell.
Yeah, I think this guy who's really loud. From getting to finding a proposal to writing one to actually getting the business, then to executing it, all the way to getting paid, because these are like lifetime jobs for some of these things. I mean, they're 5, 10, 15 year jobs.
They really are, and there's so much at stake in a proposal. And there are so many ways that, well, basically, there are so many ways that it can be screwed up. And not just because somebody, you know, is a terrible writer. Fantastic engineer, terrible writer. That certainly happens. But even just in the process of creating the proposal, things slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
One of my clients is a healthcare IT contractor in the D.C. area. They have a great proposal department. They've got a half dozen proposal managers. They have, you know, dedicated graphic designers to create images for their proposals. I was recently editing one of their proposals, almost 300 pages. I got two-thirds of the way through it before I realized that this elaborate solution that they had come up with that had three parts, one of the parts had three very different names throughout the document. This was 2 days before the White Glove review and I think 4 days before it was being submitted.
Right.
And it just, in different stages of development, different teams had been working on it.
Things.
And it had different names.
Yeah.
And there was no general memo that said, okay, this is what we're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even realize it. That they were all the same thing till I got two-thirds of the way through the document. And Saturday afternoon, I called the, you know, proposal manager and said, hey, I think this is an issue that needs to be addressed.
Sure.
I said, oh, crap. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah. So we do that. We have like seven nicknames for the same person. Yeah, it happens. So I get it. I get it. So, you know, obviously we've talked about the value that you're going to bring to the clients and stuff. How do we get them to understand that their world needs people like you in that, there's more than one of you, right? I know you're not the only one that does this, but but you're very close to them, you know. And obviously, a lot of because you work out of the same building we do, a lot of what you do is remote. I mean, you're able to review all of this stuff.
It is
sitting in your office in Pensacola, even if they're doing business with anyone really in the world.
Right, and I certainly enjoy meeting with clients in person whenever possible, which I do with some clients in Pensacola. I met with some clients when I was vacationing in D.C. last year.
That wasn't a vacation then, if you...
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I should expense it all, right?
I'm sure that went over real well. Yes, you should expense it all. In fact, we just had a CPA gentleman who would tell you that.
But working online, one of the things, you get a little bit more perspective, and particularly having an outside eye come in. I don't just edit proposals. I provide process reviews to sort of help them see where the inefficiencies are in when they're putting their proposals together and how they can make that a little bit better. And having someone who's not part of the organization coming in from outside and making recommendations and saying, you know what, we can do this differently, or we need to change this. That's much easier just from a culture standpoint within the company. You don't have someone that you work with every day saying, you know, this isn't working. We need to change
What's
this.
What's up with all the red ink? Yeah.
Yeah. I use green. I don't like it to look like I opened a vein on the page.
Yeah, right.
But,
well, and it, you know, it sounds to me like, too, that when you take that process and, one, you get a 30,000 foot view very quick, right?
Right.
Two, here's somebody who knows really nothing about what they're about to read.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of it, you should really know everything that you need to know about it.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's, King Calvin and I have found this, and we've had this discussion multiple times, but we get, you get so deep into what you're doing, you mm-hmm. can't have the objective of view.
Right.
Because you understand it. You know, and it's to your own fault, but it can also be to your own demise, right?
Right. You're writing your own thoughts, and so you know what you meant to say.
Yep.
I mean, I'm an editor. Whenever I write anything that's really important,
mm-hmm.
I send it off to one of my colleagues and say, hey, can you take a look at this and make sure that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's clear to somebody else? Just because you don't know what you're not making clear in your own writing. Because in your head, it's clear.
Yeah, sure. And you understand it. You're all wrapped up in it.
Exactly.
It's that founder's mentality, right? You've got it all, and it's there. But so, okay, so walk me through the process of maybe onboarding with you. Like, for instance, if I'm going to call you today or if I've got some documents that need to be looked at today.
Sure. Sure. Typically what I'll do is, if it's local, I'll set up an in-person meeting. But even online, we can Skype, we can talk on the phone. I prefer not to just do straight emails back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to establish trust.
Sure.
From the very beginning, because these are really important documents that I'm going to be looking at and have a significant impact on
mm-hmm.
the bottom line, whether you know, if I can help improve your win rate, I also have the power, if I screw it up,
yeah,
to, you know, help you lose a proposal.
Sure.
So there needs to be some trust established. So what we'll do is we'll talk, I'll get to know about the organization, what their objectives are, what they feel like they need to have done. For instance, in one meeting, I had a client tell me that, you know, we've been doing pretty well in business for 20 years, but in the past year, we lost 3 bids because we didn't meet all the requirements of the RFP.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just inexcusable. And so I helped them with some process. You set them up with a compliance matrix and check it off. So I find out what their needs are, what
sure.
their problems are, and help them come up with solutions for it. So it's a free consultation. We talk about it. I know them. They know me. Figure out how we can work best together. And then I'll come up with a proposal. Some suggestions for improvements mm-hmm. that can be made, and an estimate of, you know, a timeline, a cost estimate, and what sorts of results they can expect to see from it. And then send it back to them. They have some time to review it. If they think that that's not for them, that's fine. You know, amicably part ways, everything's good. If they decide that they do want to go forward, then we put together a contract and sign it and get started.
So what's the longest editing project you had, timeline-wise?
Timeline-wise?
Yeah.
Well, one of the big things for me is that, that's a big value to clients, is that I make myself available when they need me.
Right.
So I might get a 250-page proposal, end of business on Friday, and have it back to them by start of business on Monday. Now, I don't see my kids that weekend,
mm-hmm.
really, but I'll work
through
the weekend.
Yay, mom's busy. We can go trash the house.
But I tend to have a shorter timeline for proposal when I'm editing a proposal
right.
document, because that's just the nature of the business.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way that I'm going to get a several week lead time. I may edit some earlier versions of it for a pink team review mm-hmm. or a red team review. But even those are a fast turnaround. Now, in terms of if I'm going to provide a workshop, for instance, there's one that I do that is proposal writing for people who hate to write,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty much everybody at contractors who would rather be doing their job
mm-hmm.
than actually writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then we'll work together, and it's basically whatever their turnaround time is. So once I get specifics, you know, give me a couple of weeks to get
right.
it together to tailor it for them. But typically, you know, unless it's an enormous ongoing project, it's a few weeks
yeah.
at the
cool.
most.
Cool. I just didn't know if you had some that where you were like, it's been 4 years I've been editing this.
Oh, no. There's,
no.
I mean, one of my clients has a client that they consistently do work for.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm doing the same type of work for the same business for quite a while,
yeah.
but it's not the same individual project.
Do you find that a lot? Do you have a lot of long-term clients that are like, okay, we'll just kind of keep you on retainer for next time?
Yeah, I do. In fact, a lot of my clients really like having that retainer option.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they get my services at a discounted hourly rate, you know, starting at 20 hours per month, and they get preferred service, mm-hmm. I suppose, so that if I know I've got, you know, 20 hours for this client and 30 hours for that client, and I have somebody else coming in with a huge project and say, you know, I need this, you know, right. turnaround this fast, and I just don't have the bandwidth for it, obviously my retainer clients come first.
Sure.
And so they get that prioritized service. And the longer I work with a client and the more I get to know them, the more I'm able to help them in terms of process improvements right. and things like that. So I
eventually
really prefer
you kinda,
that.
They weasel some of the needs of you out, which is good because you're
That's
adding value
true.
To them.
That's true, absolutely. And a lot of these contractors, they don't have the resources to hire a full-time proposal person, mm-hmm. but they could really use somebody, you know, here and there on a part-time basis. And that's where I come in.
Very cool. All right, so he's telling us to wrap it up. if anybody wants to find you or get any more information, where can we send them to?
SamanthaWeaver.com. I'll be there.
That's pretty easy, huh?
Yeah.
Or here at Florida GovCon for another couple hours if you happen to be in the local Tampa Bay area.
So. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, guys. You can find us at Picola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at Picola BRX on Facebook. Or you can find us on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com.